Thank you, Pat, for that children's message. You know, I have to admit that the Simon Says got me. I was one of those that was got. And what's worse is I think that it took me a second to realize, like, what? To realize even what you're saying after we, oh, well. Well, if you would, as you heard read a little bit ago, Acts 17 is where we're spending our time this morning. So if you want to take out your Bible or the pew Bible in front of you and turn to Acts 17, verses 22 through 31 is where we are headed this morning. But before you do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, it is so good to be with you. It's already so evident to me that you are here with us. And so we pray, Lord, that you would continue to pour out your Holy Spirit in this place, and that that we would, by all the things that we do and all the things that we say, we would bring you honor. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, several sermons over the past month or so have been from the book of Acts. And the last time I preached about Acts was one of my favorite books, because it gives us the opportunity to see the gospel of Jesus Christ from the very beginning and spreading all over the entire known world at a rapid pace. And now here in Acts 17, you know, we're kind of midway through the book. And the closer we get to the end, the more we see fulfilled what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which kind of serves as like a roadmap for what the entire storyline of Acts. Jesus says in Acts 1, 8, he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," right? And so if you don't have one of those maps in the back of your Bible, if you don't have one of those memorized, what you would actually see is that when he's talking about this, he's talking about wider and wider circles of influence. He's saying, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then he says, you know, of course, all the way to the ends of the earth. And so now here we are in Acts 17, and we start to see the reality of that progression taking shape. You know, Athens is not quite the ends of the earth, but from a first century perspective, we're getting pretty close, right? So we see that what Jesus was talking about is coming to pass. And so now this passage is often talked about when we think about evangelism, as Pat was sharing with us in the children's message, because in his speech and in his action, Paul is brings some insight to the task of evangelism, or that is sharing our faith with those who might not have heard. And so Paul gives us, as is usually the case, far more than we can possibly cover. So I'd just like to highlight a few insights at lightning speed. Some of you are doubting this. At lightning speed, and then leave some time for Brother Paul Webster to share with us about his ministry as well. Well, I think the most important part of this passage, the most important part of Paul's speech, comes in verses 26 and 27. He teaches us something about the whole of humanity. And he says there in verse 26... he says that God made from one man every nation to live on all earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, and if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. In other words, what Paul is telling them is that God made all of humanity. And when he says that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, he's saying that there's something in the heart of each human being that longs for, that searches for a relationship with God, because that's part of how we were made. You know, whether or not we know it, there's something in us that longs for a right relationship and to worship God. And what's more important, when he says, actually, he says, and he is not far from each one of us, I think Paul's talking about the reality that God, through the person of Jesus Christ, is drawing each of us to himself. He's actively pursuing us, each person, and each person with whom we might share the message of Christ. Because there's something in us that we have a desire to know God. This, I think, is why the people of Athens, it says in verse 23, have an altar to an unknown God. Because I think they still feel they have all these gods that they're worshiping, all the idols to all these many different gods that they have named, but there's still something in them that says, man, there's something more out there. There's something more. I'm missing some part of what it means to know God. Because they, like each of us, were made to seek a relationship with the true and living God through Christ. And ultimately, all these other gods that they're worshiping are not satisfying that longing. This is what Paul tells them in verse 23. He says, therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. That's why he's telling them this, because they are looking for something. They're looking for this God that they don't know who it is. When I think of this passage, I'm reminded of a somewhat famous quote from St. Augustine, who said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Our heart is restless until it rests in you. He's saying that we are not truly at peace until we have peace with God, until we have... It also reminds me of... I'm reminded of Pascal. You know, for those of you who are, I don't know if we have any mathematicians in the room, Pascal's triangle, this is the same guy who invented that, which I tried to look at that this week and it was totally beyond my comprehension. But it's the same guy. Pascal talked he introduced the idea of that we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts, that there's a need in our soul, in our hearts, that only God can fill. It's like a God-shaped hole. And so when we try and fill it with other things, with wealth, pleasure, power, honor, love, happiness, or the good life, whatever it is, it's not going to work. Because we, all humans, have a deep, deep need for God in our lives, a need that only God can satisfy. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And so, you know, that was true when Paul said it to people gathered there in Athens. It's true for each one of us. And it's also true, this is where it becomes important to understand as we think of sharing our faith with others. That deep, deep need for God is also true when we think of anyone that we might be sharing Christ with. Because every person we encounter has that same desire built into our souls. So you can look for fulfillment in your life and career, or sports, or even good things like your family, but you're still going to be missing something. Honestly, I think this is why people turn to addictions to drugs or alcohol or even food or things like that, because there's a need that we're trying to fill. We have a need for God. We're trying to fill that in some other way. So that's the first and most important thing that Paul shows us as we think about evangelism, is that everyone, knowingly or unknowingly, is made to seek after God. And only the true God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ will ultimately satisfy that need in our lives. And the second insight that I see Paul gives us here as it pertains to evangelism is simply that we should be doing it. We should be doing it, right? I mean, if we really believe this stuff, right, that we think about, then it's not something we can keep to ourselves, right? It's something we must share. And actually, Paul shows us this by his own example. I mean, as we said at this point, he has covered half the known world trying to share this message. And not only that, but he actually shares some of the reason that he's doing that in verses 30. If you look at verses 30 and 31, he says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all men, to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all by raising him from the dead. So that's why he's saying that he's saying that's what motivates him to come and share that with that message with the people from Athens. And I know we have several visitors this week, but for those of you who were here last week, you remember that Pastor Tom in his sermon, he talked about John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father. I mean, so do we believe this stuff or not? Because if we really believe that, then we've got to be about the business of sharing that message with anyone and everyone who will listen. That's the second thing that Paul teaches us about evangelism, is if we really believe this, then we've got to not only live it in our own lives, but we've got to be sharing it with other people. And finally, see, I said it'd be quick. Finally, the last thing that I see that I would like to highlight anyway that Paul teaches us about sharing our faith with others is actually what we see in the passage immediately following the one where we ended today. So our passage isn't in verse 31, but if you have your Bible, you look at verse 32, we read this. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, "We shall hear you again concerning this." So Paul went out of their midst, but some men joined him and believed. Among them were also were Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So it's interesting to me that when Paul preaches this message to them, some followed, and some didn't. What this actually reminds me of is if you've ever seen like an infomercial, and I'm sorry, I get funny mental images, and you all have to put up with it. But if you've ever seen like an infomercial, and at the end it says, you know, for some kind of product, and it says results may vary. I mean, that's what we see here is that Paul is saying, his own story here demonstrates to us that when we go about the business of sharing our faith with other people, you know, we'll get varying results. Results may vary. And you know, so it is with us. We see in this passage that some people sneered at Paul and made fun of him, but eventually a few listened. So as we seek to share our faith in Christ with others, some will hear us and some won't. Some will receive Christ and some won't. Not everyone will listen to us. Some people may make fun of us. But what if they do listen? We see what happened with just a few people that listened to Paul. They became great leaders in the church. The tradition of the church is that Dionysius, the Areopagite, who's mentioned here, he went from being an Areopagite was a judge in the Areopagus where Paul is. Okay, Areopagite, Areopagus. You with me? Okay, so he went from being a judge in this temple to these other gods to being the bishop and the first bishop in the Church of Athens. And we see, so we cannot let the fear of rejection stop us from sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. Our message is far too important for that. But I would be the first to admit that sharing Christ with others can be a very intimidating prospect. But honestly, when you think about it, what do we have to lose? What do we have to lose? I mean, people will think we're weird. People may say mean things to us. When we think of what Paul, if you read the rest of the book, you see all the things that Paul went through to share the gospel with others, suffered greatly. And so our struggles, you know, really seem kind of light in comparison with that. And particularly in light of eternity, you know, what difference do those things truly make in our lives? Actually, if you were here at Charge Conference last fall, one of the speakers that I thought was fantastic shared about, he kind of gave a little tutorial on how to go about sharing your faith. And one of the things he said that stuck with me was that the first time you try and share your faith with someone, you will probably be bad at it. That's what he said. And I don't know, for some reason, I found that great. I found that a great comfort, you know? Because he said, like anything else, the first time you do it, you're bad at it. Really. I mean, you know, I don't know who does something the first time and they're good at it, right? And so he said, you know, the next time you do it, it'll be better, and so on and so on. And there are many ways that we can share Christ with others, and certainly we do that through our actions and the living out of our faith. You know, as Pat was talking about with the children, that should be a given, right? But we can also begin simply by having conversations with people about what's important to them and what's important to us, right? I mean, just in the same way we talk about anything that's important to us, we talk about our faith. We can invite people to events here at the church or you know, events at other churches that might be going on. There are many ways we can begin to have that conversation with friends and loved ones and other people we meet. But perhaps the most important part of evangelism to our loved ones or other people is simply that we would pray for them. Because remember, salvation is something that it's God's work and not ours, right? So if we are dependent on Him to do it, then the most important thing we can do is pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to intervene in the lives of those we love that want to know Christ. Because although it might seem hard to believe, I want to think about this, that God loves your loved one, whoever that might be, more than you do. If you can think about that. So when we pray to Him that the Holy Spirit would begin to come and intervene in their lives, that we can trust that He will do it. And also, we pray, when we think about evangelism, we also ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes. We pray for ourselves to open our eyes, that we might, to open our eyes to the opportunities that we have every single day to share Christ with someone in some way. Because I promise you, every one of us has an opportunity every day in some way to share Christ with someone. And so we need to be in tune with that. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to those opportunities. And we do this because the fact of the matter is that whether people know it or not, they're hungry for the gospel, the good news of Christ. And so we have a responsibility to take it to them. In fact, I suppose it occurs to me today that, you know, maybe perhaps there are some here, you say, yeah, I have that longing in my life. I'm not sure what's going on with that. And if that's you, you know, I would love to talk with you. Pastor Tom would love to talk with you today or any day. But for those of us who do know Christ, let's share Him with the world, starting right here in Richmond, because we serve a God who loved each of us enough to send somebody to bring the gospel to our doorsteps. We love somebody enough to send them to share the gospel with us. And you know what? He loves others enough to send us to share a message of hope and reconciliation and peace with God with other people. And that is truly something for which we could be thankful. Thanks be to God.